I am an avid hiker. Well, I used to be. One morning I was hiking a new trail. I had a trail map, and it was several years old. It was a misty, heavy cloud cover day, but I made my way on the trail slowly. And after a couple hours, finally I met another hiker. He was heading back from where I was hoping to arrive. And as hikers do, we stopped and we talked. And he asked me, this quizzical look on his face, he said, "Where are you going? Where are you heading?" And after I told him, he shook his head and he says, "You can't get there from here, not from this trail anyway." Well, I protested, I unfolded my map and waved it. But he told me the trail map was old, the two main trails had been closed due to erosion and rock slides. "I know," he said to me, "I know where you've come from," because I had to go back. "I know where you've come from, and I've hiked all the trails up and down this mountain over the past year. And I know," he said, "I know you cannot get to where you're wanting to go from here." In rather blissful ignorance, I was walking along a trail that finally wasn't going to lead me to the place where I was hoping to go. And in a way, this is sort of like a lot of people in our day who claim to be on the trail leading to heaven, but in ignorance or arrogance, are not really on the way that leads to eternal life. Some time ago, I was in a big mall. One of the four times in my life I've been in a mall. And I was standing before this huge kiosk with a map. A map of the mall. There on the map was an arrow and a kind of a silly statement. Below the arrow says, "You are here. We have ways of knowing these things." Brothers and sisters, Jesus knows too where you are. He knows the trail of life upon which this very day you are walking. He knows where you've come from. And he meets you again this day in his word and at his table because he wants to make absolutely certain you're on the right trail. And that is the point of the gospel reading from Luke 13. Where Jesus went and his earthly ministry depended upon where he'd come from. Going through the towns and villages, teaching people about God's love for them in an all-out effort to seek and to save the lost, Jesus was heading toward Jerusalem. He started from heaven, coming to this earth on the mission given to him by the Father to rescue the world gone astray in prideful rebellion so that he might prepare the way for people to join him in the kingdom. Sad, but true. There are a whole lot of people who expect to get into the kingdom of heaven because of where they come from. Because of where? Some people around Jesus thought they were in that kingdom because they had come from Abraham. "I got Abraham's blood in my veins." Or they were descendants of some Old Testament big deal figures. Others thought that they were in the kingdom simply because they had passed kind of close to Jesus. Maybe had lunch with him one day. A picture taken with him. Same thing goes today as people claim that they've come from a family. We come from a long line of in this church. Grandma always used to read her Bible. Or folks who say, "Well, we try to get to the Lord's house whenever we're free, but you know, boy, life today is busy." And then there are always folks in that crowd that say, "We had lunch with you once, Jesus. Remember that? Remember where we went?" So many people claim to have some kind of relationship with Christ Jesus, but they never really get too close to Him, nor let Him get too close to them. Kind of arm's length. And just as sadly, there are people today, as in Jesus' day, who imagine that they can bully their way in, knock their way into the kingdom of heaven by using their own wherewithal and strength, pleading their own rightness or pedigree. But the truth is, that trail map will not get them to the destination they want. In the words of Jesus from that gospel today, the owner of the house will not admit those who rely on where they have come from, nor on their own personal wherewithal. I know where you've come from, and I know where you think you're heading, and want to arrive. But to arrive in the kingdom of heaven, the place that even now I'm preparing for you, there's only one trail, one way. Jesus calls it, did you hear it? The narrow door. But the narrow door is the door of God's wide open grace, as wide as those arms of Jesus can reach as He hangs and dies on the cross, bearing there the sin of the whole world. By the way, this is the door that demands nothing from us other than this stark realization and confession. But on our own, we have no right, no reason to enter God's kingdom through the door of His grace. This is the door, the narrow door that goes under the shameful cross. Whereas we pass by and look toward that dying Lamb, we cry out in faith, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. It's the door that's narrow indeed. Because Jesus alone is the way, the truth, the life. No one comes to the Father, no one, except through Him. No other name given under heaven whereby we are saved. I know this flies in the face of so many Christian churches today, denominations today, who are saying, believing, publicly confessing that Jesus is but one way to heaven and to life with God. He's not the only. I mean, there are other roads. But in the gospel reading today and in the scriptures throughout, all roads do not lead to heaven. He is the only door. He is the narrow door, but He is the open door. Your sin and mine have separated us from God. Our sins have slammed shut the door to His kingdom. But God loved us. He loved the world, that He sent forth His own beloved Son to blaze a new trail that would bring otherwise lost hikers home to Him in heaven. The front doors of this church are heavy. Many of you have come through these front doors, and you know their weight, their heft. And if you happen to be carrying something, well, pretty tough. I have in my hand a little wedge of wood. Well, it sure doesn't look like much, and I can tell you, nothing to it, really. I mean, from the looks of things, I'm going to tell you this, though. I could take one of those heavy front doors, open it up, and prop this wedge under it, and it will hold. It will not slam. Jesus Christ is the wedge that stops the heavy door of God's righteous wrath and judgment from slamming on you and me. To be sure, we deserve nothing but that. But this is love. Not us first, that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins while we were still helpless and hopeless and lost, still in our sin. By His cross and tomb, He wedged the door open for you, my brother and sister. This is a narrow but wide open door. It is wide open to the heart of Almighty God. And the thing about His heart is this. His heart aches for you and for me and for the world. Together with people from all over the world, north, south, east, and west, God welcomes us to the banquet of His kingdom. He welcomes us to His table, declaring, of all things now, get this, He declares losers to be winners and the last first. This is God's way in Christ. His trail to the summit. I know you, says Jesus today, as you come to His altar. I know you. I know where you've come from. I know the way home. Let me take you there. In the name of Jesus. Amen. The peace of God which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.